New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Your time and expertise are valuable, making Focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, and it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused and quickly get through your work with relevant real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything, from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
Welcome into Duval Daily, presented by GenJack.com. I'm Jordan DeLugo. Thank you so much for tuning in here on Thursday, June 13th. Mandatory minicamp is in the books. School's out for summer. It is the dead period, officially the dead period, the time of the NFL calendar where there is literally nothing going on. You don't have the draft to look forward to, no free agency upcoming, although teams can sign some guys during this time period in between mandatory minicamp and training camp. Training camp is about 6 weeks, month and a half away-ish from really getting kicked off. So we're going to be diving into some different types of content here, right? We're going to be taking a look at what the Jaguars have done over the last couple years as an organization. And today we're starting with, is Trent Baalke good at the NFL draft? Does he know what he's doing? Has he done a good enough job building this Jaguars football team through the draft? Because this is a team that wants to be draft and develop. Yes, every couple years, they're going to have free agency classes where they're able to make some big swings. Shad Khan makes sure of that. But we're going to dive into it here. Is Trent Baalke good at drafting? We've talked about Trent Baalke a ton over the last couple years, but I want to go in depth here on how he has done as a drafter. Again, specifically in the draft, we're not talking about the free agency classes or anything like that. Just like what he has done in the NFL draft for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Really appreciate y'all tuning in. If you enjoy the content, please like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. You can also check out genjack.com/shop, pick up some new Duval gear. We've got our tie-dye Duval throwbacks available for pre-order right now. You can also become a channel member here on YouTube. So, Trent Baalke, been the Jaguars GM since 2021, was there for the awful season under Urban Meyer, and obviously was hired prior to that season. So he got two first overall draft picks, has been there the entire time with Doug Peterson as well. So what matters for a general manager during the draft, in my opinion, in terms of like how you evaluate a GM? To me, there's two big things. His talent evaluation, like are talented players being added to the roster? And then roster construction, right? Understanding how a player's talent, potential, and skill will translate to the NFL and then also translate to your team. But then also understanding your team's current build. How can a player fit into your culture and how can they impact your roster overall? And what are the paths to success for that player? So those are the two most important things for me. Like generally speaking, when you're looking at these players round by round by round, you want a first round pick or a second round pick to be a long-term high impact starter, bottom line. I think third rounders should either be quality starters or key rotational players. That should be the goal. Fourth rounders should have a chance to be a quality starter or key depth piece. And then beyond round four, to me, there are a lot of different ways that a player can present value. It's kind of difficult to really judge too harshly beyond that. So we're going to go through Trimbalky's draft history with the Jaguars specifically, talk about the picks a little bit. We're going to calculate hits, misses, and to-be-determined situations, right? You want hits in each of the first four rounds. I strongly believe that. Anything after that is bonus points, but you definitely want to get those hits. These core roster pieces, roster pillars, if you will, in the first four rounds. For me, hits, they have to be good, talented football players, and they also have to make sense in your current roster build. So we're going to go through it here. Trent Baalke's first draft for the Jacksonville Jaguars was 2021. First four rounds, Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, both in the first, Tyson Campbell and Walker Little in the second, Andre Sisco in the third, Jay Tufele in the fourth, traded up for Jordan Smith, which was also in the fourth round. So that's your top four rounds there. I think when you talk about this draft, the hits, Trevor Lawrence, obviously, which he fell into that one. Trent Baalke didn't have to do anything to make that pick. Travis Etienne, I think that was a hit. A lot of people would argue against taking a running back in the first round. I generally agree with that, but it does depend on the talent level. And I did have Travis Etienne in the mid-20s in my personal rankings on my personal board that year. He's a guy that has a dynamic skill set. So I think that was a strong hit for Trent Baalke in the 20s. Tyson Campbell, I think, was a hit, even though injuries have marred what you've seen a little bit throughout his career. But when he's been playing with confidence at his best, Tyson Campbell has been a really good young corner. Andre Sisco was a clear hit in the third round. That was kind of the Baalke special, a guy that was coming off injury that he was able to get some value on, and he's been a playmaking safety for the Jaguars. And then I count right now Walker Little as a hit. What happens with Walker Little over the next couple years is going to be a determining factor there as to whether or not he was a hit, because the bottom line is, even though he hasn't had any path to the starting lineup, being a starter at the beginning of the season in terms of the depth chart, he is a starting caliber tackle. And when he has had to start at tackle, he's been good. Like down the stretch in 2022, which was his second year in the league, he was the tackle for the Jaguars when they went on that run. And he was the tackle for the Jaguars in the playoffs. And he had a great game against Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa in the wild card round. Helped the Jaguars win that football game in a big way. So he gets a lot of credit for that in my book. And then he had to start the 2023 season in the starting lineup with Cam Robinson on suspension. And he played his ass off at left tackle, in my opinion there. So even though process-wise, from a talent or a roster evaluation standpoint, the Walker Little pick hasn't quite all added up, because Cam Robinson has missed time with suspension and injury, you have seen the talent manifest, and he has had to play in critical situations. So for me, that is still a hit. What happens moving forward could change that. So it could be a to be determined, but because you've seen him play enough snap, because he started enough games, I have it as a hit. That's just kind of how I view it, even if the construction of the roster standpoint doesn't add up all that much with the pick there. And then the misses, Jay Tufele. Talent-wise, to me, that was a hit in the fourth round, because he's still on a roster. He's still on the Cincinnati Bengals as a depth player. I think he's a talented interior defensive lineman. Doesn't have a complete skill set, doesn't have the best length or athleticism overall, but I think he's a good player. And the reason it's a miss is because the Jaguars cut him a year after drafting him. And then Jordan Smith, obviously injury played a big part in him no longer being on a team in the NFL right now, but that's the way it is, and he was always a project, so that's a miss as well, and you traded up for him. A bonus one here, Luke Farrell, he's a nice role player. Like, if he's your tight end too, you could do a lot worse, and that's what he kind of was last year. So for me, 5 out of 7 in the top four rounds is really darn good in his first draft as a Jaguars GM. Again, if Walker Little ends up not sticking around following the 2024 season, you can say it's a miss there because you just didn't get enough out of the pick. But from a talent standpoint, Walker Little has it. And I think he will stick around beyond the 2024 season. If I had to guess, I think Walker Little will be the Jaguars' starting left tackle in 2025. To be determined, but that's kind of my crystal ball prediction there. But still, again, 5 out of 7 is very good in his first draft. Now, a lot of folks do say that was an Urban Meyer draft, not a Trent Baalke draft. But I don't think Trent Baalke's taking those players if he doesn't agree to some extent. So overall, 2021 was fantastic, and that's the only draft class that we have now seen over 3 seasons. And to me, you have to wait 3 seasons to really judge a player and to judge a class. It can take a while to hit in the NFL. It can take a while to find your stride, to hit your stride. 2022 class. We have seen 2 seasons of these players. Trayvon Walker and trade up for Devin Lloyd. Those are your 2 first-round picks. You don't have a second-round pick because of the trade up for Lloyd. Luke Fortner, Chad Muma, both in the third round. Those are your top 4 rounds of that class. So the hits, to me, Trayvon Walker and Devin Lloyd, I think are definitely hits. Again, too early to necessarily say. But while I wouldn't have picked Trayvon Walker if I was making the decision, I think you can look back now and say he has made enough strides because he was always a project pick. That's what he was. He was a good run defender who had the unbelievable traits upside to be a very impressive pass rusher. He did hit 10 sacks last year. You're seeing the development. I think that Trayvon Walker, while he can still improve his consistency as a pass rusher and consistency overall, is trending in the right direction in a big way. And I think Devin Lloyd is too. I mean, you see him this offseason. This is a guy that's already had a lot of ball production, getting his hands on the football, whether it's interceptions, fumble recoveries. He's been a good run defender. I think that there's been ups and downs as a coverage player. But Devin Lloyd is certainly moving in the right direction. I think off-ball linebacker is one of the hardest positions to transition from college to the NFL. I think that Devin Lloyd, with the trajectory that he is on, is going to be a big hit for the Jaguars. And then the misses, I think you can, even though it's early and these players could do things that we haven't seen yet, they could progress. I think Luke Fortner was a miss in the third round. And I think Chad Muma was a miss in the third round, not necessarily because of the talent, but because of the roster construction of it all, right? The overspending on linebackers. I think drafting a linebacker in the third round after you went and paid a linebacker big money and then traded up for a linebacker in the first round, that same draft, kind of crazy. Luke Fortner, he just doesn't look like he's good enough at this point. I think that I thought his college tape was good. I liked him coming out. He was an older prospect, and his strength wasn't good enough. Unlike Tyler Shatley, his strength was not his strength, right? So I think that Luke Fortner will have a chance to have some staying power in the league, but I don't think he's probably going to get another opportunity to start at center. I really don't. In terms of, you know, going into a season as a starter, right? And then the bonus one, I think Buster Brown, getting him in the 7th round, clearly he has exceeded that expectation so far. He's had to start, he's had to play games, struggled his rookie year, played much better last year, and I think he looks even better so far throughout this offseason, out there on the practice field, a lot more confident. He's using his length, his strength, and his experience out there to play some pretty good football. So you're 2 of 4, though, with those top 4 round picks in 2022, in my opinion, with hits on Trayvon Walker and Devin Lloyd, misses on Luke Fortner and Chad Muma. You did get that one bonus in Buster Brown. Gregory Jr. could end up being a bonus. Not sure how that will play out. But the way it's looking, after having added Darnell Savage and Jarian Jones, both who are going to be playing nickel, I don't really see how Gregory Jr. ends up being that from a roster construction standpoint, at the very least. 2023, Anton Harrison, 1st-round pick. Brenton Strange, 2nd-round. Tank Bigsby, 3rd-round. Ventrell Miller and Tyler Lacy in the 4th-round. So I think the hit, Anton Harrison, is the only clear hit after 1 season. And again, it's way too early to judge a draft class. You can judge the decision-making of the general manager throughout the draft, but it's way too early to judge the talent and overall NFL impact that these players will have. But Anton Harrison is the only clear hit. Started every game as a right tackle for the Jaguars after playing left tackle at Oklahoma. Did it despite having a shoulder injury. Was excellent in pass protection despite going against some absolute beasts in the NFL in his rookie year. So Anton Harrison is a massive hit. And he traded down to land him.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
It's too early to call anyone a straight-up miss, but it's TBD on Tank Bigsby, Ventrell Miller, Brenton Strange, and Tyler Lacy. I think you can criticize each one of those picks from a roster construction standpoint, roster building, team building. You're drafting Tank Bigsby in the third round, you know, day two of the draft. That's a valuable pick when you already have your clear workhorse back. You're drafting Ventrell Miller when you already have a stable of off-ball linebackers, and they wanted to trade up for Ventrell Miller. They tried to trade up for Ventrell Miller. And then Brenton Strange, I think it was a little early for him. I said that at the time. And I think that you had an opportunity to go get players that would make a more immediate impact and probably a little bit more talented overall. But those guys are all TBD. It's too early to say. I think your bonus hits that you do have, Antonio Johnson and Parker Washington, I think were clearly good values for where you got them. Antonio Johnson is going to be a starter for the Jaguars. Parker Washington has the talent to be a very good role-playing rotational depth receiver and potentially a starting slot down the road. Cooper Hodges, I think, will be a hit. The Jaguars like him a lot. They converted him from a tackle to now an interior offensive lineman and a guy that missed last year due to injury. But I think that that's trending in the right direction. So 2023 is very much to be determined, but the second rounder hurts. Maybe some of that day three work helps. And that is one of the benefits of going into a draft with a lot of extra draft capital. If you're able to make some hits on day three, you can make up for maybe swinging and missing earlier. I think that's possible that that's how that plays out for the 2023 draft. 2024, Brian Thomas Jr., Mason Smith, Jarian Jones, Jovan Foster, Jordan Jefferson. We just simply don't know about any of these guys yet, but I'd wager that I think at least three of those five will hit from the first four rounds there. And then you had a bunch of picks after that that I think could hit, you know, Cam Little, Keelan Robinson, DeAndre Prince has a chance. So there's some guys. I mean, it'd be amazing if Miles Cole ends up hitting. But To me, three of those five guys will probably hit. It's just too early to say. But I think Brian Thomas Jr. is too talented and in too good of a situation to not hit at some level. Jarian Jones seems like an absolute baller based on what you saw from him at Florida State and so far here in Jacksonville. Javon Foster looks like a good depth tackle. Then you have your two LSU defensive tackles who have talent to hit. But it's TBD for all these guys at this point. So after 4 years, what's funny is it's honestly still too early to completely evaluate his ability as a drafter and team builder, but that is the objective of the video here today, right? I do think that Trent Baalke is good enough at identifying talent to survive in this league. He's not elite in that regard, but good enough to build a talented overall roster through the draft. I do think he is. I think he has really struggled in team building, though. And that can kill you as a GM. It absolutely can. Like, taking a tackle, offensive tackle, in Walker Little in the second round that does not have a real shot at starting until after his rookie deal ends because of other decisions you make, that's tough to stomach. That's tough to stomach. Taking an off-ball linebacker in Chad Muma in the third round after trading up for one and paying another one, that's tough to stomach. Trading back in the second round and then drafting a tight end who's your tight end three to start his career instead of rolling with a need at guard with a player like Osiris Torrance or many other talented players that were still on the board that could have helped you more. Tough to stomach. You know, taking a running back in the third round when you have a clear starter, a workhorse guy who you already spent a first round pick on, that's tough. To me, those were all clear misses the moment they happened, even if the talent is good. Like, I think Tank Bigsby is a good player. I think Britton Strange has a chance to be a decent tight end. But those were roster construction misses. Then you have some other interesting situations, right? You drafted J2 Fele in the fourth round at defensive tackle to just cut him a year later. Taking an upside play on Mason Smith when you have needs at cornerback and there are good prospects on the board. That was very bold by Trent Baalke. Taking a backup nose in the fourth round, Jordan Jefferson, when there are a lot of good prospects that could probably impact your team more in 2024, when you could have probably drafted Jordan Jefferson a couple rounds later. Trading up for a project edge in the fourth round is bold. 2021, Jordan Smith, right? Taking Ventrell Miller in the fourth round to be your fourth or fifth off-ball linebacker and a guy who they knew was injured and they tried to trade up for him. My goodness. Interesting. So is Trent Baalke good at drafting? I think his eye for talent is good enough. I think his best draft was 2021, mostly through that first three rounds of 2021. But his team building decisions, his roster construction decisions in the draft have sucked in a variety of ways. Again, I think his 2021 draft class, which some don't want to give him credit for, I will give him credit for it, and his 2022 free agent class are the foundation of this team. 2022 free agents, you know, a lot of guys that are, you know, absolutely crushing it for this team from the 2022 free agent class. Foye Aluakin, Christian Kirk. Obviously, you have several other big-time stars. I mean, Darius Williams was a big hit, even though they decided to move on from him this year. You have a couple other guys that are making big impacts for the Jaguars. Evan Engram from 2022. So I think that those two periods of talent acquisition have really set this foundation of the team. And then Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson are the twin pillars this team is built on. Do I think that Trent Baalke is good at drafting? No, not really. Not compared to other good organizations, other good GMs in the league who know how to identify talent and how to build a complementary roster. To me, his greatest achievements were luck. He lucked into Trevor Lawrence. He lucked into Doug Peterson. And I think another big thing is going to be having Ryan Nielsen on this staff. Again, I do give him credit for his last two first round situations, trading back, landing good football players that are going to make an impact. Very savvy. Some of the talent evaluation has been very good, but too many baffling decisions after round one to get fired up about this guy. It is still too early to judge 2022, 2023, and 2024 completely, but you want to give a draft class three seasons to really mature. But I still think it's easy to sit here and look at in the moment evaluation of what Trent Baalke has done in the draft beyond round one and say that there have been some obvious whiffs, questionable decisions. It is very possible that we're sitting here in a year or two saying that he did a great job in the first round of 2022 with Trayvon Walker and Devin Lloyd, and he's hit on a lot of these other guys the last couple years. But at this point, we don't really know the answer to that. But I will continue to say, I think that his team building, his roster construction, his mind for that leaves a lot to be desired. So that's kind of how I view it with Trent Baalke. This is a long one here. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hopefully it was informative for y'all. Would love to know what you think about what Trent Baalke has done in the draft for the Jaguars. Over the last four drafts, you can drop your thoughts in the comment section below. If you enjoy the content, please like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. You can also check out jinjag.com/shop. Pick up some new Duval gear. Y'all have a good one.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.